This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome to Thursday, Brent.
Hey, everyone.
Brent, not ready.
Dave's going to start the show today. Yeah. I'm too prepared with my intense workup and preparing for the show.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
There is a lot going on, and of course, there's always a lot going on in this cranium of mine. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and you are listening to Newsmakers on KYKN, the Mid-Valley's local talk. And I'm going to say that because now I'm going to talk about things that aren't local, but still
it comes down to the local level.
Important.
It does.
And we've got a guest later in the hour to talk about some of the good things happening in Salem and some of the good works that they are doing in Salem.
Absolutely.
So, one of the good fortunes of having your own radio show, you get to talk about whatever you want as long as it's not things like, I don't think it'd go over well if every day I was talking about how I wanted Hillary Clinton to be president. That may not be.
I would lock the door on you.
Yeah.
Just saying.
And we don't usually dive into national stuff here, but, you know, this is really getting to me. So, and I think it's a reflection of our society. Antonio Brown, do you know who that is?
Yes.
So he's a football player, folks, if you're not paying attention. And
he's on my team now.
Oh, is he on your fantasy team?
No, my team.
Oh, you're a Patriots fan.
I am.
Well, he's kind of on the team. He's going to collect a paycheck but not actually play.
At least for
all right. This is
last week. He should be playing this week.
No, the commissioner is going to put him on his list.
What?
You're not keeping up.
Okay. I am not. What's
so
going on?
Why does Brent want to talk about Antonio Brown? Because there's so much of a reflection back again with our society. So
okay.
Here's a gentleman, and he's a very, by all accounts, a very talented football player, right? Wide receiver, and he's a child.
He is.
And there's no sense of accountability as an adult. So what bothers me about this, folks, is all of the kids or teens or young athletes that are moving up that want to emulate somebody. Hey, you know, when I'm a star, I get to act like this. And it just goes against my old-fashioned sensibilities, right? You don't tell your employer what you're going to do and not going to do. Right.
Yeah, so doesn't usually work that way. No.
So for our fans that are not caught up, Antonio is he was with the Browns, right? Steelers. Sorry.
He was with the Steelers. Yeah.
Got traded to Oakland. Hasn't played a down for Oakland. And he has an injury to his feet. So that's one thing. He was one of these people that likes to live his life on Instagram. He likes the whole world to know everything that happens to him and everything he's thinking kind of thing. But then he didn't like the helmet. He liked his old helmet, and now there's new helmets with different safety ratings and this and that.
Safety.
So yeah. He, like a baby, said, I like my old helmet. I'm not going to play. And he doesn't show up. He doesn't show up for work, doesn't come to the job, doesn't work out with the rest of the team. I loved the tweet when he says, I'm working as hard as anybody. I'm like, no, the people who are working are showing up to practice.
Yeah.
Those are the people who are working hard. You're working hard at posting more than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I am going to get to why this is important to our society, folks, is that rules don't apply to him, right? And so John Gruden is the coach, and he's trying to baby him. And in my view, what's the right word? Just kind of stroke him. Right?
Coddle
him and say, hey, it's going to be okay because he wants the star wide receiver. It was the wrong tact. He should have said, no, you work for us. We pay you millions of dollars. Here's your dang helmet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, show up or you're fired. And in America, we are too lenient now to let people behave abhorrently and let them get away with it if they're talented. Abhorrently. I mean, it's like...
Is it because he has a contract?
Wait,
because
wasn't he still holding out? Isn't that why he wasn't? He never once went to one practice with the Raiders, or maybe one.
But I think part of it with these athletes is that they sign these contracts and then they act as badly as he is
mm-hmm.
doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks he can get away with it because he's like, well, if they fire me, they're still going to pay me.
Well, not
they got it.
they did fire him
yeah.
eventually.
But like, did they pay him?
When he eventually showed up, yeah. they fined him. Said, well, you missed team meeting on this date, and you missed these practices, and they issued a fine. Well, he was indignant. He was, how dare you? You know, what's wrong with you people fining me? I'm like, because you didn't show up for work.
Right.
You know, and just tell it like it is, John Gruden. Tell it like it is. You know, so then there was a phone conversation. John Gruden's his coach for the Raiders. He's supposed to be playing for the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
He calls him and says, what's up, man? You know, I can't do my John Gruden impersonation, but what's up? You know, and
right.
Can't you just play football? You're a great football player, man. We really want you. You know, can't you just play football? Can't that be what it's about? And the guy goes, I'm not just a football player. And, of course, it's nearly impossible for me to speak with the poor grammar and that he uses. But he's like, I do football on the everyday, you know. And
wow.
This and that. So if I channel my John Gruden, if John Gruden could channel his Brent DeHart, he would have said, yeah, but all those other things that you are as a man, I understand we're all multifaceted and you're a celebrity and you're all this. None of them are paying you $15 million.
True.
All of that is because you have a job that pays you $15 million. So you do your job first. You do your job first that's paying you $15 million. And then be the person who is whatever it is that this person is.
Right.
Right? If he's an advocate, if he's a self-styled, you know, star in social media, I don't know what he is. So to me, he's a baby.
Mm-hmm.
He's a talented football player who no one ever forced him to be an adult.
And that would be a problem.
No one ever forced him to be adult, folks. So Antonio Brown, he's a child, and in America now we are becoming this culture where people are not held accountable. It's like, was it Sprewell? Is that a basketball player? Is that ring
yeah.
a bell? And he was playing for, I believe, Sacramento, and he literally choked his coach. The man never should have played again.
Wow.
Right? He literally, physically assaulted his coach.
Yeah.
Well, he ended up playing for another team. But violence in the workplace? Wow. Let's go over and choke Sergeant Mike, shall we?
Yes.
And we'll see if we have a job in the next minute.
Yeah.
So anyway, he got traded to the Patriots. And now the part that Dave Moore has missed is he's been accused of a sexual assault.
Ooh,
and there's
a court case
pending from a young woman who said he was sexually assaulted her three times and so forth. So he's not going to play. You put him on the commissioner's list. What that means, pending this, you may not take the field. You're still a Patriot. You still get to go to practices. You don't get to take the field until this is settled, but you still get paid. So now he's going to be paid $15 million to not play for the Patriots.
$30 million.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, it's crazy.
Yeah. The other thing he did with the Raiders is he basically threatened his general manager.
Yeah, I heard that,
right.
too.
So let's threaten the general manager. Let's not show up for work. Let's be indignant that when you don't follow the policies that your employer has set out that all of the other employees have to abide by. It's like it's a challenge to his manhood or something, because emotionally and maybe intellectually, he's still 12 years old.
Yeah. It's like, kind of
you didn't
strange.
Show up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they're going to fine him for what he said as general manager, this and that, and he goes, release me, and so they did. Just goodbye. And free agent, you're released.
Yeah, I would have released him a long time ago.
It just surprises me that the Patriots want somebody that is such a known
troublemaker.
Cancer, yeah. I mean, just so self-absorbed.
Belichick won't deal with that. He won't put up with that.
No.
If Antonio doesn't show up for practice, he's gone.
My guess is that this is Sports Talk Radio here on Newsmakers, right?
If you and I did this,
anybody.
Anybody, pretty much. You have to do your job to get paid, mm-hmm. and you have to abide by your employer's rules, and then be your own personal stuff outside of work.
Used to be we only tolerated abhorrent behavior in show business. You know,
well, even
with
then.
Stars and the show businesses, and they would tolerate and coddle and this and that because they're stars and everyone's making money off them. And now that sports is show business, we're doing it to them. And my concern, and why I'm talking to you about it, is my concern is this is what's happening to society.
Yes.
that our kids in school are learning how to behave through this. People are graduating, think that they can go into the workplace and behave like this, and that we accept it. And we need more bosses who just say, in sports and in entertainment, go, no, that's not acceptable behavior, and you don't have a job. So he can tweet for the rest of his life and not get paid $15 million and so forth. Anyway, we got to take a break. But we'll talk about some local stuff coming up and whatever's on Brent's mind. Shall we do that?
Yeah, sure. Man.
Hey, folks, thanks for joining us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and you are listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We were talking before the break about Antonio Brown, and just to, mainly to put a line in society, folks, about acceptable behavior, and also to set an example for the next generation about what is and isn't acceptable instead of just tolerating it. I would love to see somebody, regardless of how talented they are, have people just say, no thanks. And you know where there's an example of that? This quarterback that decided to make his platform at his job his place for demonstrating against conditions in the United States, and Kaepernick, right?
That is another one, yeah.
The collusion, they're accusing a collusion. It just makes me laugh out loud. You know why he doesn't have a job? He's not good for business.
Right.
You know, they have people that say he's a good quarterback. Your people say, no, he's not a good quarterback. Well, he's better than a lot of second, you know, backup quarterbacks in the league, and he did win a Super Bowl. But regardless of that, it's irrelevant. He's not good for business.
No.
You have a job, and your job is not to demonstrate, you know, in the workplace. I can't go into the workplace and hold my Hillary should be president sign.
No.
Or Trump should be president sign, or anti-abortion sign, or pro-gun sign. I can't do it. Anyway, that's why. It's workplace, folks, and maybe I'm looking at this as an employer. I've been an employer since 1991. But I've always thought that I could always accept and understand an employer's perspective and an employee's perspective. I've been both. I am both.
You are.
I continue to be both.
You're outstanding, too.
why, thank you.
Yeah.
But that's the thing about it's your workplace. And that's when you cross that and think people get so obsessed with them and what they have to say that they think it's okay to not abide by the rules and have this abhorrent behavior. All right, moving on, because these things connect. I mean, some of the things we're talking about, and like, why is Brent talking about this?
It's starting to reflect also down into the workplaces at other places, even warehouses. I had an interesting conversation with a supervisor of a private warehouse, not unlike Amazon. It's kind of like that. But they supply medical supplies for hospitals. And he said that they've, for the first time, they've gone on to flex schedules where most of their employees, about, I think he said 40-some percent are part-time with no benefits because they don't care to have the benefits. Mm. They want to work on their schedule without the benefits because they still live at home. Right?
Yeah.
So in order for employees to come in, they have now an app where they can send out the hours that they need people to work in 4-hour shifts, no longer 8-hour shifts. It's 4 hours, and you could come in and work as long as you work 29 hours a week.
Interesting.
And any time you want. Say you're bored at night, they'll go in and do it 4 hours and then go home and continue to play on their video games. He said he had one employee quit because he's making more money playing video games and being paid by people who are watching him.
What?
Exactly.
Wow. I don't play video games.
He has a YouTube channel and he plays video games on it, and people will be watching and they're not forced to pay him. They donate.
Wow.
And somebody paid him $700. In 1 month.
Wow.
I'm like, why?
Do you know when I knew that our society was doomed?
When?
When ESPN2 or ESPN started broadcasting poker. Because in America, we used to play cards. If, say, you didn't have something to do, you weren't at work, the weather was bad, you don't have something to do, you play cards.
Yeah.
You know, something to do in our idle time, in our spare time, in our family time, in our social time. My folks always belong to a bridge club. So, but, you know, a lot of people view, oh, we're going to play cards because there's nothing else to do. We're a little bored. So it's now we're bored. We won't even get out the cards. We were just going to watch other people play cards.
That's like this.
Like, I'm going to watch other people do a social game. I mean, that's when I'm like, you got to be kidding me. How lazy can our society be that we're going to sit on our butts and not talk to people, not invite some friends over to play some cards?
No.
We're just going to watch some complete strangers on the television and watch them play cards. That's when I knew, oh, we're doomed.
And the announcers, I like golf announcers. They're like, ooh. He moved the cart a little bit to the left.
Oh, that's a tell.
That's a tell, yeah. His eyes. You could tell by the look in his eyes.
Oh, man, you lost me. I had a total train of thought going.
Sorry.
All right. So,
it's just the way that things are going, and it's kind of crazy.
We've got a guest coming in to talk about some great work here in about 5 minutes. So let's talk about something important.
Okay, you got 5 minutes. Go.
And we're intersecting again, folks. And believe it or not, this is tied to our talk about pushing back against what's not acceptable. So now we live in a world where nobody who has any sort of faith background can be trusted, and we need to discriminate against them. It used to be... discriminate against these collective classes... So this is an article in the Salem Reporter. It has to do with public schools using meeting rooms at a building that's owned by the church. So once again, we have Salem Alliance in the news right here and close to downtown Salem. And the state says, no, it's not discrimination to use this. Because people want to... I don't know what the deal is with Salem Alliance that people want to attack, because they have the Broadway Commons, coffee house, and meeting rooms. And a lot of the community uses it. It's a nice facility, but it's owned by a church. So therefore, that church believes one man, one woman. That church believes in traditional marriage. Therefore, somebody gets to make the leap that they're hate-filled bigots who discriminate. And so they want to make the claim that that the school district is doing business with a discriminatory entity. That's just how they feel about Christianity, and that's when we're just saying, hey, you know what, just hold up your hand, folks, and go, no, you need to just go calm down. Like, go listen to Taylor Swift, and you need to calm down.
Wow.
Right?
You went there.
Yeah.
I would call it good business for the church. They're got a building, they're leasing it out, they're making money. What is wrong with that?
And I like how the news reporter, there's nothing wrong with it.
Thank
Dave.
You.
And I like how the reporters, they want to refer to this church who opposes same-sex relationships. Okay, folks, you heard it here. You can repeat it. All these people that you're married to, your kids in college, your family reunions, your golf buddies, I don't care. Somebody starts spewing at you. Just remind them that the Bible, the Old Testament, is the foundational document. It's the foundational faith document for Judaism, for Christianity, and for Islam. All three of them believe in the Old Testament. All three of them have this foundation. It's not just Salem Alliance down here in Salem, and they oppose same-sex marriage. I'm like,
no.
You know what I mean? It's
right.
And... just crying that, oh, they oppose it. That means their faith history says that. Their faith, foundational faith belief system says, we believe in a God, and we believe that God prefers one man, one woman. And that's the thing that's the jump in our conversation in America. That's the jump that the haters want to make is, you believe in that, therefore you're a hate-filled bigot. You believe in that, therefore you discriminate. And so... these people raise the case like, hey, the school district can't do business there because they are they discriminate? No, they have a belief system. They're entitled to a belief system, and I'm pretty sure it's in writing somewhere. It's in writing somewhere. Oh, right, the Constitution.
Yeah.
The state can make no laws prohibiting the free exercise of religion. And by, I mean, they would have us blackball Christian churches, which you'll also have to blackball the synagogue.
And who
and
is
you
the,
also have to blackball.
And who is it that's complaining? I'd like to know that. Is it one person?
Well, is somebody it, with agenda. It, remember,
is,
this
is it a group?
This is, the, well, the Peith-like people. Remember, that they were the same people that didn't want the city of Salem to contract.
Is that
the,
a group of two?
Oh, Peith-like's a big thing, but apparently we have one activist here in town who
see, this
who's
is,
a hater.
This is what's wrong with society, again, with social media, where one person can start up something like this, one tweet, and suddenly, oh, a group is saying this about this other group, and so we have to change our rules. No. What about the other 99% of us?
Yeah. Oh, 99. I looked this up today.
Does that happen?
I looked this up today, Dave Bourne.
Yeah.
Because what percentage of people, they want, oh, this, I'm going to get so much trouble. They want to force the conversation that some of these gender identities are normal. These are normal. Well, if I hit a crappy golf ball 9 out of 10 times and then I had a really good one, that's not my normal shot.
No.
And when, depending on which studies you look at, anywhere from 90 to 98% of human beings in America identify as male or female.
Because that's what we are.
Then thinking else is an abnormality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that doesn't make me a hater.
No.
There's the jump. Oh, well, you know, you think men are men and women are women, so you must hate. No, we don't. But you're an idiot if you think that this is not... Ooh, that's an epithet.
Wow.
You're incorrect. If you think that it's normal. It's not normal. Normal is what 90%+ of Homo sapiens identify, how they operate in their lives.
It's more like society. 99%.
I agree. So... it's very interesting articles if you want to search on online about where this 10% come from, and it was a fabrication, and based on this and that. And
yeah, it's not failed science. It's not 10%.
And then other say it's less than 2%.
Yeah,
are not heterosexuals, and so it's just the terminology. But if I say, well, it's not normal, well, you hate them. No, I don't.
No, it's just,
well, you
want to
discriminate. No, I don't.
It's not normal.
But, you know, let's not fight over terminology and let's not point fingers.
How about they stop forcing us to give, you know, these lawsuits and things for bathrooms? Come on now.
All right. We're going to finish up this on Broadway Commons. Quote from Salem Alliance. Even the Broadway Commons is owned and operated by Salem Alliance Church.
Mm-hmm.
We have not chosen to use it as a religious platform. We have not discriminated on the grounds of sexual orientation during our hiring processes at Broadway Commons, nor have we ever taken action against a Broadway Commons employee based on those grounds. Church leaders put in writing. And so Salem Kaiser has agreements with several churches in the district to use facilities for parking lots, church roads, access to schools, and so forth. And that's the point, folks. Stop letting them get away with hatred towards Christianity, hatred towards the faithful, and treating as though if you're faithful, if you have a faith, then you're the hater. It's the flip.
They
hate you.
Mm-hmm.
They hate you, and they want to make you illegal to discriminate against you. Whew. That's unacceptable. Unacceptable dialogue.
Absolutely.
All right, we got to take a break and get to our guest.
Yes.
This is Brent DeHart. Hey, you're listening to Newsmakers. I'm here with Dave Bourne, and stick with us. We'll be right back on 1430 KYKN.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And welcome back, folks. As promised, we have a guest in the studio. We welcome in the studio Debbie Lute. And Debbie is with Connections 365. And if you're not familiar, you're about to become so. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Nice to have you. We always like to spotlight good people doing good things in the Salem-Keizer community and the Marion and Polk County community. So Connections 365, what's your role there?
I am the executive director. Okay. I've been there for 12 years, going on 13. The director for 7, going on 8. And we've been in Salem for 30 years.
Wow, 30 years. And now you had a name change.
We had a name change. We were Christian Community Placement Center, CCPC. And fun to say, Catholic Community Services, one of my best friends. We just kept bumping into the language of the name and trying to figure out what we do, what's the root of what we do. And so we came up with, we connect people with what they need. It could be shoes, it could be coats, it could be a foster home, it could be mentoring. And it just resonated for our organization as kind of not a turn away, but actually getting more pointed about what we do.
All right. So Debbie Lute, you run the joint.
I do.
Okay. And Connections 365. So it's a nonprofit, obviously. Mm-hmm. And who do you serve?
We serve youth out of Oregon Youth Authority. So we have a program where kids are stepping out of the prison and into community. And we have another program where we're trying to keep them from going into McLaren. So we have a program for that. We serve foster kids that are not coping in regular foster care. So we have wraparound services. It's enhanced foster care.
Enhanced foster care. Well, draw us a picture of that.
So they have a lot of lagging skills, behaviors, past trauma. So we step into those places with them and help them identify good, healthy goals and how to get back on track if they're off track with living in a lower level of care or transitioning into community as young adults. So we help them learn skills. We help them gain hope and actually believe in themselves again. Hmm. It's great work.
So that is one of the things, and by the way, I can't let this slip, that preventing... they're interceding so people don't end up in McLaren is
correct.
The cheaper way to go.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so like for these foster kids, it's going to be the cheaper way to go to try to give them these life skills so they don't end up getting distracted and going down a bad
path.
And
it's questionable what that does for them if they get there.
Yes. Okay. So you work on a referral basis in terms of, sounds like, Oregon Youth Authority.
And Department of Human Services.
Okay. And yep. They said, well, they need your help.
Yes.
Now, do you still have a Christian mission? Is that
our
still
mission,
a Christian basis?
Yeah, our mission says we're a Christian organization dedicated to. The state does not allow that you discriminate with your employees based on race, religious perspective. But our board holds to a standard of if you're going to be a board member, you have to sign a statement of faith. And then our foster homes currently have to sign a statement of faith if they become one of our homes, which is walking a fine line these days.
So Debbie Lute, Connections 365, your foster homes, that's different than a state-run foster home?
Correct. We train them. We hire them. It's a reimbursement rate. And we have 24/7 support and supervision for those homes. So they're not set afloat.
Well, we know statewide there's a huge need in the community and for what you do in your organization. Is there a big need for people to step up and be in these foster homes?
Yes, there's a big need. It's, not to be rude, it's really comfortable to be a middle-class white American and have a happy home and a happy life with your two dogs and your three children. But these kids don't have any family, especially the DHS kids. They are the orphans. They're actually the adolescents in our community. They haven't been able to be diverted by preventative services. So they're now in the middle of their heading into adulthood, where to from here. Mm. So we Oregon has about 80 kids out of state because we don't have the capacity to serve all the kids that are in need, specifically adolescents age 12 and up.
Hmm.
So yes, we need homes that are willing to roll up their sleeves and partner with us to help these kids head into the community healthy and well.
Okay, so how many employees in your nonprofit?
Part and full-time, we have about 49.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow, that's substantial. Where's all the money come from?
It comes from the state reimbursement rate for taking care of people. We also do mental health services. Mm-hmm. That money comes out of local, they're called coordinated care organizations, and it's very limited funding at all levels.
Yeah, and it never, yeah, it just doesn't pencil. So money that would go to somebody who is in the state foster care system would mm-hmm. go, would be funneled in your direction.
Correct.
Yeah. And so you have this broad array of services that you have. And it says youth, but you, it sounds like you're mostly doing teenagers.
They're mostly, yeah. Most of the kids that we get, especially the ones Oregon Youth Authority, those are mostly teenagers. The Department of Human Services, we are licensed down to age 9, but the chunk of kids that we get are the adolescents that are transitioning through junior high and high school, and they tend to hit a wall right about then, especially if they don't have their own skill development.
Well, tell me, you haven't been there since 1989. Because you were just a toddler then, but in 89, do you know anything about what spurred the development? Why did this organization get formed?
Yes, a couple that I know well was driving around the city of Salem, actually, and seeing kids all over the streets. And so they began to open their home and realized they needed to train up to be able to help the kids, and their needs were pretty significant. So they started an agency, a child caring agency called Christian Community Placement Center 30 years ago. They opened up their home, then they recruited all their friends, all their family, all their church members, and they raised up a group of people that would reach out and take kids in.
Okay, so the placement center,
mm-hmm.
That's referring to placing into a home, right?
It is. They also did adoptions for children in Africa. So they were doing some adoption placements back in the day.
Really?
Yeah.
But not anymore?
Nope.
All right. So typically, so you would get a case from the Department of Human Services, mm-hmm. right? Or maybe the...
Oregon Youth Authority.
The Youth Authority. And say, hey, we have this person. They meet with you. And what's the next step?
They fill out a lot of paperwork. And we do a lot of research, you know, background on the kiddo.
The youth does?
No,
the
adults.
Okay.
And then we look at their needs. We look at, you know, what is it that they need? We create what's called a treatment plan, which is really partnering with them in a collaborative way to say, what do you want to get to? What are your goals? And of course, we make a few for them as well. And then we work day to day with those kiddos, put them in our homes, have meetings, group meetings. We try to wrap around them. Try to come alongside. We provide mentoring sometimes at our own unreimbursed expense because they need a little more and the home needs a break. So we do some respite backup for these kiddos and try to work with the state and pull them into more than a once a month visit, not to be negative, and to really let the kids know they have adults in their life. It's actually statistically proven that if a struggling kid has one positive adult in their life, it changes the trajectory of their life. It's true,
wow.
Researched. So our core belief is there's no such thing as a bad kid, and that when we look at kids, we need to reframe what we're saying about them and see beyond the behavior and really come to understand what's the message. Like, they're acting out, they're frustrated, they're impatient. Wow. And they do that every day, all day. You really are tenacious. You really are committed as a person. Now let's reframe that into a better choice of commitment. So we have a pretty strong core opinion of how to help these kids.
Interesting. And I believe it. I've always been an advocate and always appreciated my friends and the community mm-hmm. partners that we've had that were there for my children growing up.
Right.
There has to be somebody. There has to be an adult that they can turn to. And even if they have a stable home life,
right.
I believe that as another adult, it's a little right. league coach, it's a teacher, it's a band director,
yep.
it's something.
Yeah,
somebody
we can
at
all
church
think back.
And so
I can
forth.
Think back.
I
to
can
Mrs.
Too.
Brown.
Yeah.
Mrs. Brown.
I was going through, my family went through a divorce. I was one of these kids, and I was straying off over here, and she believed in me.
Mr. Johnson for me. And he's still my Facebook friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So the kid, you used the term wraparound, and obviously, and that was one of my questions was your mentoring, right?
Correct.
You're providing homes.
Yes.
You're setting goals and plans,
mm-hmm.
and so a little bit of counseling there.
Yep.
And
we have
mentoring.
Some one-on-one counseling.
Mm-hmm. What about their physical health and well-being?
So our goal, we have 10 acres. Our goal is to develop the property in such a way that they can have a lot of what they need on site, because sometimes going to the gym isn't a practical decision at the front end of their care. But yeah, they need physical activity. They need sports and arts and music. So I would say the biggest funding gap is the resources to do the extracurricular work with them. The state will definitely pay for food and shelter, but what a full-rounded child needs is a lot more than that.
So Connections 365 has 10 acres.
Yes, and a couple homes in the community of our own.
So the people, the kids that are in your care, are they staying on the campus?
9 of the kids stay on the campus, correct.
Out of how many?
Out of 20.
Okay, wow, they stay on the campus.
So we have a community garden, and we are always writing grants and looking for funds to, you know, to support more than here's your treatment plan.
We're talking to Debbie Lute of Connections 365. One more question before we let you go. How can people help? Now, you say you have 49 employees?
Yes, we do.
And how many do you have also volunteers on top of that?
We have some volunteers. It's a bit tricky when you're dealing with kids that you have to go through a background check and fingerprints. So in-kind contributions, we're building our donor base. We have a fundraiser coming up called Smash 100 Balls Golfathon up at Top Golf in October. So we are constantly looking for support in different ways. But we also need employees. We need direct care staff. We need mentors. So people looking to work in the field of social work in a very impactful way, we would love to see their resume. And other than that, I have to say, because I am a Christian, that prayer for these kids.
Yeah, it's powerful. And so your fundraiser, we want to plug that for you.
Yeah.
Smash 100 balls. You get to go to Topgolf.
That
doesn't sound like a difficult
fun.
Task.
Oh, yeah. Some people are scared about it. I can't golf. But yeah, we've got probably 14 participants. Our goal is 50,000. We're at about 15. And we're just plugging away at seeking donors.
How do they connect with your fundraiser?
www.connections365.org.
All right, connections365.org. It's a nonprofit that's serving local youth, and their agency is doing great work.
Mm-hmm.
Great work, the great foundation. And we want to thank Debbie Lute, who's the executive director, for coming in and letting us know about it. And good luck in smashing those 100 balls and making that money. And
that's right. And
what date is that?
October 13th. It's a Sunday afternoon.
Might have to do that.
You do nothing else to do.
I got nothing
else. In the afternoon, can you just TiVo your Seahawks or 49ers or whatever you're listening to and go
Patriots.
Smash 100 balls. Hey, folks, got to take a quick break, but we'll come back and finish up our hour. Thanks for being with us. This is Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back, folks. Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne on this beautiful day to live in the Mid-Willamette Valley.
Sunny and 81. Can't go wrong with that.
Is that what it is?
September, yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't quite seem like that. We were looking at floods 2 weeks ago. I mean, 2 days ago.
Literally.
We were talking earlier in the hour, if you're just joining us, about behaving badly, right?
Yes,
behaving
you were.
Badly. And we need to hold people accountable. I kind of liked, although it made me uncomfortable, there was an ABC show about what would you do? And they would put scenarios and they'd run them live where somebody would behave very badly in public. So maybe you're in a coffee shop and someone's verbally abusing their spouse.
Oh, okay.
Right? Or mistreating a child or whatever, taking advantage. And they watched how people reacted.
Oh, wow.
What would you do if you were faced with this kind of behavior? And I'm a proponent to pushing back, folks. We just, this day, this era where everything goes, that's just not healthy.
Well, this day and this age, most people will whip out their cell phones to start videoing.
Yeah, so they can
or
get a
streaming
bunch of
it, or streaming it live instead of jumping in.
So the college scandal makes me laugh out loud.
The what?
The college enrollment scandal, because it's in the news every day, like it's important. Is it that important?
No.
You know, Bill O'Reilly talked about this yesterday. You talk about Felicity Huffman, right?
Yeah.
Bill O'Reilly, that comes on after the show now here on KYKN, he was commenting on how much of a crime does this rise to, and compared it to some other celebrities that got in trouble and what they did, if it was sexual assault, if it's tax evasion, things like that,
right.
Compared to, hey, you cheated on the SAT, right? I'm not condoning it. But the thing is, it's because she's a celebrity. Because these people are celebrities and they're filled with privilege, of course, which I hate that kind of elitism. It's the reason it makes me laugh out loud is I always just thought it was a given that if you wrote a check, you can get in USC.
Really?
Like, why?
You thought that?
Yes.
Wow.
Of course. Is there?
I thought if you cheated on your SATs, you lost whatever you gained from it. Or you were allowed to go back into the school.
Well, yeah, and her daughter's not in school, but.
But if you got a degree from them after cheating with your SATs, you lost it.
Really? Isn't,
that's what I thought. Oh, well, that's what I thought.
Oh, I've never heard
do
of
they
a case.
Not, do but, they not do that?
So there's the, I've never heard of a case.
So no consequences then?
I've literally never heard of a case of somebody being able to cheat on their SAT to get into university. Not that it's never happened or they.
I'm sure it's happened.
But they have some pretty strong controls. I mean, my kids took them and you had to come photo ID and it was proctored and blah, blah, blah. And anyway, people behaving badly. I just don't care. Of all the things wrong with our society, folks, whether or not some celebrity got into USC or NYU, I don't care. I mean, all the things wrong, really, every single news story, every day on Good Morning America and Good Morning, all that stuff. Really?
Yeah.
People behaving badly. I don't say don't hold them accountable, which is another huge issue in America where we cannot discern between forgiveness and don't hold accountable.
Mm-hmm.
There's two totally different things. And people like to throw that at people of faith and, well, you should be forgiving. Well, I do forgive you, but I still want you to be held accountable for what you did.
Consequences for actions.
Bill Riley's comment yesterday, I get. She's been held accountable. She's lost income. She's lost dignity. Let it go. Anyway, behaving badly, held accountable. I favor that.
I do too.
Fire the football player. Fire the basketball player.
Fire the professional. They're not going to do their job.
Don't show up. Don't write the check.
That's right. Good philosophy.
That's the world, according to Brent DeHart. So thanks for joining us. Let's do this again tomorrow. Tomorrow will be Friday. We'll have some fun here on Newsmakers, 1430 KYKN Salem. I hope you're listening.
We'll see you tomorrow. Oh, I guess we got another minute. I'm sorry.
What? We're still on the air.
Yeah. I need new glasses. I can't tell the time.
I just want to know. I'm just completely subject to Dave and his ability to run the hour.
But. Sorry. I should have been 2 minutes. So in the last minute here.
Let's take a phone call. I'm just kidding.
No, boy.
Anyway.
Held accountable, for one. Like you said, if you and I did the things that some of these celebrities get away with because they feel privileged and rich and just write a check and things go bye-bye. That doesn't work in the real world, and they need to be held accountable. And kids that are coming up and looking at these athletes and these celebrities and thinking that they can get away with it as well, you can't touch me because I'm a kid. I'll turn you in because you spanked me. That kind of crap has got to go away.
And just how we're training them to be adults.
Absolutely.
That's my biggest problem with society and how we're treating it, how we're treating our next generation to be adults.
See you
tomorrow.
Lynn Fenton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.